Tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about keeping our appointments. Without a doubt, all of us probably here have some appointment that we have to keep as far as tomorrow morning. And a lot of times we have appointments throughout our lives, appointments that we look forward to, appointments that we dread. I, for one, am one of those that I just hate going to the doctor. And whenever I have a doctor's appointment, I literally dread it. And my family can tell you, if I ever volunteer to go to the doctor, something is very badly wrong with me, which I actually did about 2 weeks ago. but that's an appointment I don't look forward to. And there's a lot of appointments that we keep out of obligation that maybe we look forward to, maybe we don't. And sometimes we have appointments that we do very much look forward to. And I think it's important for us to understand tonight. Now, I want us to look at some passages in the Bible that support this thought and this idea of making sure that we keep whatever it is, our appointment that we have planned, whether it's something we want to do, whether it's something we don't want to do. And in my case, oftentimes my appointments are some that I don't want to keep. But I'm looking forward to, there's some appointments that I just really don't look forward to, like having to wake up in the morning and go to work. But there are appointments that we do have to keep. And I think the first thing I want us to understand is that when we do make appointments, when we are given appointments, we should keep them. You see, us as Christians, we should certainly be dependable to others around us. In Matthew 5, verse 33 through 37, when Jesus is talking, he says at the end, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Now, in the context, he's talking about oaths, about giving oaths and saying this is something you shouldn't do. But I think for us to look at tonight, it's important to understand that our word, when we say yes to something, when we say no to something, that should be something that we value, and it should be something that others value so that they know they can depend on you. If you say you're going to do something at some time, you know, we should do it. And I think that's really important for us to understand. Jesus, he's, again, telling us not to take oaths, but to simply say, yes, I will do something, or no, I won't. And if we are a dependable person, then people will take at face value whatever it is we're saying. And the truth is, we probably all know someone who, if they tell you they're going to do something, we make some backup plans because we know they're probably not going to. You may be that person, I don't know. But we all know someone like that. It's interesting. In my job, I get a lot of students come to my office. If you please give me a little more time to make up this work, I will do it, I promise you. And usually it happens at the end of the semester. I'll have students come by. Listen, I know I missed the last 10 weeks of class and the last assignments for the last 10 weeks. Will you please let me redo it? You would be shocked how many times that happens. And my answer is always the same. Yeah, I'll let you do it. And the truth is, when that student leaves my office, I know they are not going to do that work. You know, if you want to do 10 weeks worth of work in 2 days when you couldn't have done it little by little over the course of the whole semester, they're just simply not going to do it. But, you know, when you say, yeah, I'll let you do it, that really does keep administration off of your back. But that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes when people tell us they're going to do something, we sometimes know that that's not the case. And I think it's important for us as Christians especially, people should be able to take our word for what we say. If we tell someone we're going to do something, then we should follow through. We should certainly do it. You know, if you say you're going to do something or be somewhere at a certain time, we need to be dependable. And it's also important for us to remember that our reputations are something that certainly matter. A reputation is a really interesting thing. It's something that it can take years and years and years to build a good reputation with a lot of people. But it's something also that can be destroyed in such a very short amount of time. Seconds, really. And it comes back to the choices and the decisions that we make. And I think us as Christians, it's important for us to understand we need to have a good reputation, not just amongst people in the church, but among people outside of the church. Turn over to Luke chapter 3. I want us to take a look at a few verses here. Luke chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 50. I'm sorry, I meant to say Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 50. And this is, of course, the story after Jesus had left his parents and gone back to, or stayed in Jerusalem after they had left. But verse 50 says, "And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." Now, I think it's important for us to pay attention to the things that Jesus increased in. And ultimately, it really comes down to four ways that Jesus increased. First of all, he increased mentally. He grew in wisdom. But also, he increased physically. He grew in stature. And he increased spiritually. He grew in favor with God. But also, notice, he grew socially. It not only did he grow in favor with God, but he grew in favor with God and men. You see, people, at least the normal people, not including the scribes and Pharisees, people loved Jesus, and he had a good reputation among all people. And I think it's important for us as Christians to understand, even though, you know, we're not in this world, we're not going to be around Christians every day, every minute of every day of our life. And even though we're not around Christians, we still need to allow people to see Christ living in us. And it's important for us to understand that and to live that type of life. We really, you know, when you think about it, we should not be giving people a reason to talk poorly about us. One time, and this was many years ago, I came across someone who worked with someone that I knew that I went to church with, and I said, "Oh, do you know so-and-so?" He's like, "Yeah, how do you know so-and-so? I go to church with so-and-so." "You mean so-and-so goes to church?" You know, and that's a true story. And we don't want to be that person who has that said about us. We need to give people, we certainly don't need to give people an opportunity to speak poorly of us. And that goes with people of the outside world. It also goes within people of the church as well. You know, the truth of the matter is sometimes people within a congregation talk poorly about others within the congregation. And we need to make sure that we have a good reputation, that we treat everyone as a Christian should. We need to make sure our reputation is one that people don't say anything bad about us. Jesus, he said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the room. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's our goal. We want to be that light, whether it's around other Christians, and certainly if it's around people who are not Christians. But we don't want to be that person who has someone saying, "You mean Philip goes to church?" We certainly don't want people to say that about us. So, yeah, we should be an example. It's important for us to keep our appointments because people need to see us, especially if we profess the name Christ. People need to see us as dependable, and we need to have a good reputation with both people inside the church and outside the church. And the second thing, not only should we keep our appointments, but we need to prioritize our appointments. Now, we actually talked a little bit about this morning, I would say, especially in Bible class. We were talking about how there are some things that we need to put first. And in Matthew chapter 6, he mentions two things that we need to seek first. First is the kingdom of God, and second is his righteousness. So those are the two things that we need to be putting first in our lives. Now, when it comes to breaking down this statement, Jesus is saying you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, the people he was talking to, they had not seen the kingdom come, but many of them would see the kingdom come. And as for us today, we need to prioritize the church. Without a doubt, we need to put God first, put his kingdom first, and offer what we can to the church. Now, in this particular context, Jesus has just talked about eliminating your anxieties and your worries. And he's saying if you seek first God, all of these things will be added to you. And he's talking about your needs, right? Worrying about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He's saying if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will be added to you. You won't have to worry about them. So, yeah, we need to seek first the kingdom of God because our spiritual life should come first. And we need to be mindful of our duties to the church. We need to be mindful of opportunities to allow ourselves to serve the church in whatever capacity we can. And I know oftentimes on Sunday mornings, and I'm sure Terry would attest to this, I'm sure it can be difficult to find people to fill in to do things that need to be done for the service. And anytime there's a need, we need to be able to step in and help if we can. And that doesn't just involve the service, participating in worship services, but anything we do here at the church. You know, there are so many people with so many different talents of things they can give to the congregation. And, you know, what I can do may be completely different than something you can do, but whatever it is, we need to make sure we can do it. So we need to make sure to seek first the kingdom of God, but we also need to seek the righteousness of God as well. And how do we do that? Well, we simply need to do what God has asked us to. And Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So if I think a good place to begin to seek the righteousness of God is look at examples. Now, Paul is saying, he's not saying here in the scripture, be imitators of Christ. He's saying be imitators of me, Paul. Meaning, it is appropriate for us to imitate other Christians who we see as good examples. So it's important for us to find good examples, to be around those people and learn from them so that we can do what we can to seek God's righteousness. And we should pattern ourselves after those people. But ultimately, we need to pattern ourselves after Jesus because he is our perfect example. But I know all of us in here can think of examples either past, present, either in the past or in the present of who we can look at and say, that was a good Christian person, and I want to be like that person. And that's perfectly fine for us to have. In 3 John 3, verse 11, it says, Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. So for us to seek first God's righteousness, we need to do what is good. We need to make sure to follow his word in the best way that we possibly can. So, yeah, it's really important that we prioritize our appointments. And it certainly comes down to putting our spiritual lives above our physical. And Jesus himself said, if you do that, all of these things will be added to you. These physical needs that we need will be added. And then I would like to say the final thing for us to remember tonight about our appointments is we need to remember our final appointment. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I guess it was back in early November, I was sitting in a funeral and sitting at a funeral. One of my close friends passed away. And the guy who was giving the funeral said that this person had an appointment. You know, I never thought of it like that. An appointment that, honestly, we really have no control over. An appointment that no one here is going to miss out on. It's something that, you know, we may not be looking forward to. It's something that some may be looking forward to. Paul, he was someone who was really looking forward to his appointment. But there are a lot of people who find themselves unprepared for that final appointment. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." So there are really two appointments there. Death itself, and then, of course, following after is the judgment. We all in here know people who have met that final appointment of death, who have gone on from this life. And of course, all of us one day will meet that appointment. But we need to be mindful of this, and we need to live our lives in a way that we're ready for that appointment, because we don't know when that is. You know, a lot of us hope we have more time than what we think we do. I know that's human nature. But regardless of that, we need to be ready for that final appointment. The judgment is something that none of us will be able to avoid. And we mentioned this morning, I think it was in Bible class. John chapter 12, verse 48 tells us that Jesus' words will be our judge, based on what we have done, what we have, how we have lived according to his words. And we have the guide right here, and we're going to be judged based on how we have done that. But the judgment will definitely be a sad day for many. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. You know, we sing that song, "There's a Great Day Coming." But of course, the song, the last verse mentions there's a sad day coming. In Matthew chapter 25, let's begin with verse 41. It says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So the judgment will be a great day for those who are separated into eternal life, but certainly a sad day for those who are not. The truth is, we have, you know, some people just simply live their lives recklessly. Think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He was described as someone who wasted his possessions with riotous, prodigal, reckless living. Those are some of the different words used in the different translations. But he was someone who lived his life recklessly, in that he was with the Father, he was safe and he was comfortable, and he left. And thankfully, he was someone who did ultimately come to his senses and return to the Father. And unfortunately, probably many of us know of people who met their final appointment of death and had not come to their senses. And such a sad thing that is. But how joyous it is for those who we know were ready for their final appointment. Sometimes people think, well, I've got time, and put off doing what they should do. Some people think, I've got all the time to accomplish this, to do that. Jesus told of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 was someone who was like, look at everything I have. I'm going to tear down my barn, build bigger barns, and just sit back and enjoy life. And he died that night. The truth is, we don't know how much time we have. James gives a really interesting illustration on time in James chapter 4. He said it is like a mist or like a vapor. And I was explaining this. I think we talked about this verse not too long ago in the teenage class. I was explaining to them what this meant. Have you ever just opened up a can of hairspray? And I use a lot of hairspray, by the way. I have thin hair and I have to. But you know that you'll see it there and it's gone almost instantly. James is saying that's what your life is like. It's like this mist. It's like this vapor that is there and then suddenly vanishes. And if life goes that quickly, then we certainly need to make sure we are ready for that final appointment. I think it's good practice for us as Christians to be ready for to keep our appointments, to show others that we are dependable. We need to have good reputations within the church, but also outside of the church, because if we have a good reputation with people who are not in the church, then that makes us appear more credible, and they might be more willing to listen to us. They're not going to listen to the person who, you know, says they're a Christian but doesn't live that way. So we certainly need to be reputable in that manner as well. We need to prioritize our appointments, and we need to live our lives being mindful of those two final appointments, that is the appointment of death and the appointment of the judgment. So tonight we have one more opportunity. If there's anyone here who needs to obey God's word, we'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. If there's anyone here who needs prayer for any reason, we'd like to give you an opportunity to do that also right now while we stand and sing.